Urban Māori Radio Wātea 603. Next up, we'll be talking with Marama Davidson. Luxon has apologised to business leaders, some say unnecessarily so, when he described business in New Zealand as like a parent-child relationship and always going to the government for backup. That's by the by. There are so many interesting things happening. With us today is co-leader of the Greens, Marama Davidson. Apologies for yesterday, Marama. We've got all that fixed up, but a warm welcome once again to Irirangi Wātea. Tēnā koe, tuahine.
Morena, can you hear me?
I've got you there loud and clear. Thanks so much, Marama. What's this bikini baddies and buff bros kaupapa, Marama? Maybe you could tell us a bit more about that.
Yeah, look, that's a campaign led and innovated by Tanya Waikato, where she is wanting to engage people where all other attempts to engage have failed. And so we are seeing quite a bit of resounding success in terms of the click-through to the Vote NZ site, in terms of the feedback we're getting back about people who have never ever voted, who have never ever been enrolled, who are finally enrolling. And I get that it's not everyone's cup of tea. It's certainly not something I myself would would be doing. But, you know, as part of the Greens growing and evolving as a party, we bring in these creative and diverse strengths and audiences that come with our candidates. And that's a strength for the Green Party. And, you know, so I acknowledge that there have been some criticisms raised about it, and I hold space for those. But I also understand that we've got a government to kick out, and we are needing to do our best to engage people who have not been engaged in politics.
Yeah, and it is frustrating, having spoken with the Māori lead at the Electoral Commission, and despite the advertisements, the big spends on TV campaigns and the like, numbers are still slow to get involved. Now, we've got so many of our... I don't like to blame young people, but there are many disengaged with politics. And from a Māori perspective, somewhat understandable too. The way that we've been treated, the way this coalition government has treated us over the last 2.5 years, not exactly an advertisement to sign up and be involved in the democratic process, which has always been tough for our people. But nevertheless, as the saying goes, it's the only game in town. What would you say of the efforts? I mean, there's one from Tanya. We've got people out on the street. It's like the politicians, those who are campaigning to represent, are forced to also sell the idea of enrolling to vote as well as campaigning to represent. It's not really their responsibility, or is it?
You know, Dale, we absolutely cannot blame young people or any of our people who are not engaged with politics, because actually the prevailing system has been designed to put our people off voting, to put poorer and lower income communities off from engaging. That is intended, Dale. So it's actually about blaming the political forces who seek to disengage our people. And that is why we are having to be creative and innovative and sort out how we can get our people engaged. I have been quite consistent in my discussions with NGOs, with community groups, whether it's social service providers, kapu, marae, iwi groups, that we all have a civic duty actually to enroll our people and inspire our people to want to vote. So I see that as everybody's job. The commission, the Electoral Commission, has a mandate to improve democracy, so absolutely should be funding and creative in increasing the enrolments for those groups who, you know, traditionally have been underrepresented. And it's us, it's young people, it's Māori and Pacific, it's lower income communities. They probably need to be working with the leaders across the different communities. They can't do it on their own. And I know, you know, I've met with the Electoral Commission, I think it was earlier this year, if not the end of last year, and they are very clear of the issue of the problem. They are very committed to wanting to improve our engagement across the board, but they also know that the traditional methods obviously haven't worked for, you know, hundred years generation. So it's actually incumbent upon them to, and this is what we've suggested, and they realise that's true, to actually work with the community to do that. That's why they are wanting to, in my community, I've pointed them towards Manurewa homelessness organisation, who, you know, these people will not turn up to voting. They will not go to an NGO except for the places that they know and trust. So why not resource the very places that they know and trust to be polling booths to do that registration work? It's hard going, Dale. That's why it's important that we are creative and innovative about how we do that.
And it's just a couple of days away when the close-off date comes to your enrolments. That's on the 6th of August. To the Waitangi Tribunal findings, not
Yeah,
unexpected.
that's only the sorry, Dale. That's only let's be clear. That's only the close-off date to be able to enrol on the Māori roll. You still have until October 24 to be registered so that you can vote.
Yeah, another piece of racist approaches to enrolment, you'd have to think as well,
Aye.
the shortened time frame. To the Waitangi Tribunal findings, not unexpected that this change to legislation regarding treaty rights afforded Māori and again conveniently ignored by the coalition government. I just touched on it with Tūraiti in our previous conversation. What's your thinking here that even though learned people can present cases well to the tribunal, and experienced judges can find favour with Māori approaches that are just completely ignored anyway by the government? How does that sit with you?
Sadly, not surprising, but also motivating for us once again to engage our people. Because, you know, Dale, I'm even changing my own message a little bit, which is not just collectively we can kick this government out, but it's more than that. We have an incredible opportunity, a beautiful opportunity to actually create a government that properly upholds Te Tiriti and looks after communities and our planet. And I'm turning that framing around actually to say, what a powerful opportunity we have got. We know that we can't appeal to this government. They are absolutely the most racist government that we've seen in a lifetime. We know this. And so our collective opportunity, though, beautiful opportunity, is knowing that far out, wow, we can actually demand and create a government that does uphold Te Tiriti. Collectively, we have that power. Every single individual registration and vote has that power to put in place a government and to demand that it upholds Te Tiriti. And I remind people, the reason why the government is trampling all over Te Tiriti is because it is one of the last bastions of protection against corporate greed. That is why they are wanting to get rid of it in every way possible. So, whānau, again, we have a beautiful opportunity. We have beautiful collective power. Let's use it.
Tēnā koe. There's no apology from Winston for his outrageous comment in the House the other day. And yes, I know he's in his 80s. He didn't like being heckled. But even so, the Speaker didn't exactly climb into him. And while there have been calls for an apology to your Green Party MP, it hasn't been forthcoming. How does that sit with you?
You know, Dale, we've been attacked many times, whether it's by Winston or other politicians across the House, particularly our MPs who happen to be of other ethnicities and belong to other communities, but who are through and through Kiwis, you know. So none of this is surprising. It's a distraction because, you know, Winston is trying to distract people away from the fact that he has made decisions as part of this government that trample all over workers' rights, that trample all over low-income working communities and poorer communities, that have made housing and poverty worse, that have put in place rules that literally have kept workers' pay below the cost of living. You know, so all of these things, he hates it. He hates people knowing that he is a hypocrite. And so that's what this is about. It's about drawing away from those real living issues that people care about because he has got no solution for them. He has made them worse. So, yeah, he needs to be called out as racist. He needs to be gone. He's a foreign affairs minister that doesn't like foreigners. And it's Mr. Luxon, Prime Minister, has got absolutely no spine to even reprimand him for the damage that it has done to relationships. Because actually, this is bigger than Lawrence, and Lawrence has been upstanding and dignified throughout all of this. But he knows that this is actually not about him. It's about relationships among ourselves and with other communities, with Chinese communities. And that's what Winston is inciting. So we need to hold the line, call him out for his utter racism, his despicable behaviour, and he actually needs to go from the foreign minister's portfolio. Luxon has got no spine, and we'll keep calling him on that.
Tēnā koe. And I know that tomorrow the latest unemployment figures will be out. But let's touch for a moment, please, on job seeker support eligibility. And this is to do with young people who are now forced off the benefit if their parents earn something like 65 grand, I think. You might clarify that. How's this going to affect people who are perhaps challenged in different ways, mental health conditions or disabilities, etc. What impact do you believe these policy changes are going to have on some of our vulnerable Kiwis and rangatahi and also the whānau involved?
Now, everyone listening to your show right now needs to understand that this government, this Luxon coalition government, is making life harder for young people with ill mental health and cancer patients. For goodness sake. It is absolutely cruel. It's monstrous. So this government's changes to the job seeker benefit eligibility for young people will cut support for thousands of disabled, injured, and sick young people. I mean, how absolutely brutal and cruel is that? And this is because it follows on from Minister Upson last week revealing that almost 70% of young people on the job seeker support have a psychiatric or psychological condition. So they're making it harder for thousands of disabled and sick people to get the support they need. And we know that you do not make mental health better by removing income, taking away people's means to survive. It just shows the absolute cruelty of this government when at the same time they found billions and billions of dollars for wealthy property investors, fossil fuel gas barons and tobacco companies. So it's just another indication of who they think matters and who they think does not matter. And we can change that. There is enough to ensure there is enough resource in our country and money in our country when we properly tax the super rich and address corporate greed to make sure that we are looking after young people, including those with mental health and cancer diagnosis.
Always wonderful to have some perspectives tabled each week. Thanks very much for joining us this week and apologies for yesterday. Marama Davidson, co-leader of the Greens, with us. Thank you, Marama.
Ngā mihi tēnā, kia.
Tēnā koe, thanks.